Trash Time on CBS Sports Radio.
Let's go, North America! It's the Sean Moran Show as this Saturday night becomes a Sunday morning coast-to-coast on CBS Sports Radio. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. James Graceffo doing a great job, so underappreciated on the other side of the glass, as well as Brian McKeon. Fast on your updates, tweets coming in at Mraz CBS. We'll continue to read them. We open the show talking about the college football playoff and how after beating number 4 Georgia the way they did and Ohio State laying down in the first half before ultimately coming back and kicking the snot out of Wisconsin in the second half, when you weigh that and weigh what the committee has told us, I believe when we approach 9 hours from now, that release of the final college football playoff standings, to me, it is about LSU being number 1 and not Ohio State. And it's kind of ironic that we entered the weekend thinking who would be the 4th team in. And it looks like it'll be Oklahoma, but we really don't care now who the 4th team is when we have unveiled it all. And I see your calls at 855-212-4227. And I will get to them in just a moment. But I do have to say here as we start this second hour of the show, the cool people's take, the hey, I told you so take, from the people who watch college football but are not in favor of expansion, right? This is a topic where it's July, sports radio, not a lot to talk about. We have SEC media days. Hey, let's start talking college football playoff expansion. And it lights up the phones, and everybody loves doing it, and everybody loves talking about it. Now that this year has come, and we've had 3 unbeatens, and a bunch of teams playing a hot potato trying to give away that 4th spot in the playoff, this has been the easiest year for those not in favor of college football playoff expansion to say, hey, I told you so. There's a bunch of mediocre teams and 3 great teams. We don't need 8 teams. 4 teams is just fine. And that is such a lazy, ridiculous take from the standpoint of you're pointing to the year 2019 in college football and saying that, when not acknowledging how rare a season it is that we just had. We have not seen a season like this with top-heavy 3 unbeaten teams since the year 2004, 15 years ago, when Auburn didn't get a chance to play because there was no playoff in a college football national championship game. Now, because of the way this has unfolded and people seeing that Oklahoma, who has kind of come out of the shadows of Georgia and of Baylor and of Utah potentially, before that Oregon, before they lost to Arizona State, because they've kind of risen and they're the cream of the crop of the 1-loss teams with a bunch of 2-loss teams behind them, and nobody really gives them a shot because the best of the best in LSU right now, I believe, who will be the one, is so far better that you're not expecting a competitive game, and I don't know how you could. But sports and playoffs exist not just to establish a champion and a true champion, but also the idea of upsets are one of the biggest reasons we watch sports. And I think in a committee part of this, where it's not just, hey, you need to do this to make the playoff and leaves everything up for interpretation, is the reason we need 8 teams. If you have 8 teams, you'll have all 5 conference champions get in, which would have made, let's say, the 21-7 lead by Wisconsin in the first half on Saturday night far more interesting and far more entertaining, because Wisconsin, who may not have been one of the 2 wild cards, because again, you would take the 5 big Power 5 conference champions, the best group of 5 champion, and 2 wild cards. Wisconsin may not have been one of those wild cards. Suddenly, up 21-7 in a conference championship, they're playing to get into the playoff. And 8 teams basically makes it like a 16-team playoff when you consider all of the conference championship games suddenly become playoff games. Suddenly the regular season, and if you have 3 losses, trying to get that other team in your side of a division to get to 3 losses, so maybe you beat them head-to-head and you get to a conference championship game, it makes the regular season far more interesting, the health of the sport. And then when you get in, if your problem is you're having blowouts in the college football semifinal anyway, well, hold on now. when it comes to seeding, if Alabama now has a shot to get in as a wild card with two losses, when in reality they're eliminated, Alabama now doesn't put a scare in, say, LSU in a round two game or even a round one game. They don't put a scare in them. And suddenly you have a thriller and maybe we get a big upset in a college football playoff by including wild cards that have two losses. So, yes, okay, this was an odd year in college football where there seemed to be three elite teams and a bunch of, okay, decently good teams and then bad teams. If you were in favor of a four-team playoff, this was your year to wave the banner. But to look at that so narrow-mindedly and not realize how rare a season we just experienced in college football is asinine. The college football playoff will expand. Will it be six? Will it be eight? That's up for interpretation. But to say that it belongs at four forever based on what we saw in 2019 is nonsense. The playoff should still expand. 855-212-4227. The number again is 855-212-4CBS. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Bert is in Michigan. Bert, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, hey. Hey, Marez.
What's up, Bert?
Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. What's going on?
I wanted to talk to you about, you know, a lot of times you can make me mad, and I haven't agreed with you, but you're always entertaining.
I appreciate it.
But tonight, you've been spot on as far as the Ohio State take. Yeah, LSU's got to be number one.
Have to be. And by the way, my tweets have lit up, Bert, at Marez CBS, with people crushing me from Columbus and Ohio State fans, saying LSU is the one seed and Ohio State's the two based on what we've seen and based on what the committee has told us is not a knock on Ohio State
either.
It's not a knock. I'm not telling you Ohio State sucks. Ohio State could be the best team in the nation. I'm just telling you, based off everything the committee has laid out on who else they think is great and what LSU has now done in beating Bama and now beating Georgia in this spot, that is more impressive, I'm sorry, than Ohio State's schedule of, and I know Ohio State put a great schedule. They're out-of-conference opponents. I understand. They all conference champion, that kind of deal. But Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan wins? Right, Bert. Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan, those wins are not Alabama, Auburn, and Georgia. They're not.
I'm a Michigan fan, and oh my gosh. Yeah, how disappointing.
Right.
But yeah, and then my other one, the Lane Kiffin, why don't you take a flyer on him? I think that was a smart move taking a flyer on him.
Right, and when Lane Kiffin left Alabama and got the job at FAU, the thought was, okay, will Lane ever get back in a power conference? How will he do there? Will he take it seriously? Lane Kiffin was a coaching machine there. I mean, think about this. In a Florida, if you will, range, and thanks for the call, Bert. In Florida, when you think about Florida State, you think about Miami, you think of the Gators. You think of now Lane coached at FAU during a time where UCF has rose to prominence. You would think there is not a lot left to milk out of the Florida athletes. I know that it's a great college football hotbed. What Lane Kiffin did in getting players to FAU and having them become the team they did in their conference, even if it's not a Power 5 conference, was phenomenal. And going back to Ole Miss, learning from his mistakes, maybe at Tennessee, although you can't tell me he's not going to pull some of the same antics he pulled with Alshon Jeffrey, but you also can't tell me that many coaches don't do that anyway. I would think at 45 years old, he's grown up a little bit. Just a little bit, enough to be more serious in that role while still giving you the flair and the connection to younger kids, more so than Nick Saban can connect and more so than Kirby Smart can connect. And he's a little cooler than a Dan Mullen. Ole Miss will get players they weren't getting for the last decade, let's say. And Ole Miss will be in contention again in the SEC. I think this is a no-brainer to hire Lane Kiffin. Robbie is in South Carolina. Robbie, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
All right. I got a couple different things to point out.
Okay.
One, the Georgia LSU, I called out one way before. South Carolina kind of picked out all the discrepancies that Georgia had, being if you stop the run game and make their make them have to throw the ball, then you're going to kind of show their weak points, and which we did, because I'm a diehard South Carolina fan.
Okay.
We were a dumpster fire this year. I'm not going to lie.
No, I just said, well, I don't think anybody would argue with that, Robbie.
But no, the college playoffs this year, I agree that Ohio State, LSU, and Clemson are definitely going to be your top seeds. There's no questions about that. Clemson, however, and I'm not saying this because I'm a South Carolina fan, they have not played anybody. When you look at strength of schedule, the last team they played that gave them a run for their money was North Carolina.
Right.
And that was a heck of a game. It came down
now,
to
Robbie, just to play point counterpoint with you, because I agree with everything you're saying, and I agree that Clemson has to be the three, although, again, you could convince me that Clemson is the best team in the country. Outside of that North Carolina game, Clemson dismantled everybody they played. Everybody they played. So even if they're playing nobody, they're dismantling everybody. And again, you know, Texas A&M going into the year, we all thought was going to be a heck of a lot better. And that was one of those Clemson wins. So I'm not trying to credit them for beating Texas A&M because everybody did. But it wasn't as if they were winning all these field goal 10-point games in the ACC. They killed everybody other than North Carolina.
Oh, no, they annihilated them. It wasn't even close.
Right.
It wasn't pretty. Somebody was – they needed Vaseline for some of this.
Right.
But then you look at the last team that beat them, which was Syracuse, and they did it with one receiver. One.
No, you're right.
Granted, that was a couple years ago, but when you're playing a weak schedule like they are, and Alabama also played a very, very weak schedule.
Right, which is why they couldn't be considered with two losses.
Right. But you look at Ohio State, I agree they need to be in the top four. Top seed, definitely not.
Yeah, I agree. Look, and Ohio State's schedule, thanks for the call, Robbie. Ohio State played a tough schedule. They did. The problem is, while Ohio State might have the pound-for-pound 13-game tougher schedule than LSU, they do not have better elite wins than LSU. And when the committee is ranking these teams, LSU's elite wins jump off the paper more than beating Penn State and then beating a Wisconsin twice. They do. Beating Auburn, if you're LSU, is more impressive than beating Michigan, if you're Ohio State. Sean is in San Diego. Sean, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sean. What's going on?
So my argument for going to 8 instead of 4 is that it actually improves football nationwide.
I agree with that. Okay, but I want to hear why.
Well, right now, I mean, for years, and I grew up in Big 10, Big 12, Iowa, but the chances of our teams getting into the national championship has always been lower than if you're in the SEC, the ACC.
Right.
Are the teams better? Maybe, maybe not, because they never get to play them. The only way you can improve is to play better teams. And for Oregon to actually get the chance to play on a regular basis because they're winning that Pac-12 all the time, or Utah, or Baylor, who is coming back, for them to be up in that, even in the conversation, you know, the argument I heard from someone the other night was, okay, between 4 and 5, is there that big of a difference? Well, maybe you can argue that. But
right.
Is anybody going to argue between 8 and 9?
I doubt that very much. Now, there still will be debate. If we're sitting here 10
years... Oh, there's always going to be debate.
Right.
We're on talk radio.
Right. We will debate wild cards, but in reality, it'll be a little more ridiculous. And there will be... See, the thing is, we have a large amount of people clamoring for 6, then maybe a little less clamoring for 8, and there'll be even less clamoring for 16. You will always have that debate. But 8 is the perfect number because it's inclusive to all those power conferences and inclusive to getting a group of 5 champion in there as well, while then also acknowledging that there might be a second place team or a conference championship loser or, in this case, an Alabama or an Auburn or something like that also gets the chance. It is the perfect amount. But to your point on the 18...
And the other thing that you don't get now, that we never get now, is the big thing that makes the basketball championship
a Cinderella. Exactly.
You never get a Cinderella.
No,
and to get
right.
a Cinderella to run it would pull so many more people in on watching the sport.
And not only that, Sean.
Everybody.
Sean, conference championship Saturday, and thanks for the call. If you're watching, now suddenly Boise State versus Hawaii and Memphis versus Cincinnati, those games need to be on TVs because playoff spots are on the line there as well. And also to that point, when we talk about recruiting and the advantages for facilities that an Ohio State has, that Alabama has, that Georgia has, even that Michigan has, when kids who are maybe four-star recruits go on these trips and they get awed by all of that, they also get sold that you will compete for a college football playoff spot every year. Now, if you maybe go to Memphis, if you go to Boise State, and you get sold that, hey, you could be the star here as far as the second guy at a Nick Saban school, and you will still get that opportunity to shine on a college football playoff, to me, I think this levels the playing field out for recruiting as well. An 18 playoff makes too much sense. But again, because there was three elite teams this year, those who are not in favor of college football playoff expansion will pound their chest and say, this is why. This is why. There's no need for it. There's mediocrity. Stop it. Okay. When we come back, your call is still at 855-212-4227. Plus, I teased it earlier, another week, another story in the circus that is Freddie Kitchens Browns. The Sean Morash Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Sean Morash on CBS Sports Radio. Want to get a hold of Morash on the phone? Give a call to 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
The Sean Morash on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for locking it in. Sunday. It's another NFL on CBS doubleheader. First, Baltimore's MVP candidate Lamar Jackson takes his show on the road to Buffalo, followed by a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game when the Patriots welcome the Chiefs. It all starts with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. And speaking of the NFL, and I know college football has consumed the show, and we will continue to take your calls. I see you guys still there on hold at 855-212-4227. I've been teasing this for a couple segments. So last week, the story of the week was Freddie Kitchens wearing a T-shirt like an idiot. Browns fans jumped to defend him. The week before, it was Myles Garrett claiming that there were racial slurs hurled by Mason Rudolph. The week before was the fight involving Myles Garrett. And the story of the Cleveland Browns in 2019 went on and on and on, week in and week out before then. And now this week, Odell Beckham Jr. is asked about his future in Cleveland. And eventually, after about 10 sentences where he said everything but staying in Cleveland, he did say, well, this is where his heart is and his home is. But he did acknowledge, we'll worry about next year when we get to next year. Mind you, he's not a free agent. He's under contract. And he gave you every inkling that he's not happy in Cleveland. Boo-hoo, Odell. You wanted to go play with your buddy Jarvis Landry. Nobody feels bad for you. But now a report out of Cleveland about more dysfunction and more problems with Freddie Kitchens. And this from Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, does a great job there. Sources told her the Browns' offense is, quote, dysfunctional. They have not had the ability to get the ball to Odell Beckham Jr., which is crazy. But now there is disconnect between Freddie Kitchens, last year's offensive coordinator for the second half of the year, now head coach, who was totally unprepared to have the job, who was calling plays on Sundays, and offensive coordinator Todd Monken, who was more or less forced on Freddie Kitchens. And remember, Todd Monken was a head coaching candidate himself. Todd Monken could score points as a play caller with the Tampa Bay Bucks, and yet there's Todd Monken having to answer questions about the offense and the dysfunction every Thursday, and he jokingly called the meetings with the media a weekly dentist appointment. Now Freddie Kitchens is calling plays on game day, and he's getting input from three people. Todd Monken, quarterbacks coach Ryan Lindley, which I don't know how Lindley is in any business to be coaching quarterbacks after we saw him in the NFL, and inactive quarterback Drew Stanton. There are four people figuring out what plays to call on a daily basis. By the way, all four of them can't figure out how to get the ball to Odell Beckham Jr.? Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry didn't speak to the media after last week's game. They've censored themselves somewhat. And now there's just arguments on the sidelines. And Freddie Kitchens, since Todd Monken basically believes he's lost as a play caller, because Todd Monken believes he should be calling plays, there's so much disconnect that they've caused Baker Mayfield to take an enormous step backwards. And I ask you again, it's like I've been asking you every week here on the Pork Store as we oink our way through these Saturday nights, Sunday mornings. Why is Freddie Kitchens the head coach of the Cleveland Browns? And I know the Cleveland Browns don't want to do the old Cleveland Browns and cycle through coaches every year or two, but Do we have to be any more obvious? He is so unprepared for this job. And he got this job because Baker Mayfield was unbelievable as a rookie quarterback, and you wanted to keep continuity. And hiring a new head coach might have meant a new offensive coordinator. And Cleveland didn't want to force Freddie Kitchens on any head coach to be the offensive coordinator. So you hire a guy based off your quarterback that has no other preparation for being an NFL head coach and couldn't be more of an immature disaster. And then you give him an offensive coordinator who he wouldn't have been comfortable enough anyway that should just be calling the plays, but Freddie Kitchens has to call the plays also. The Cleveland Browns stay a mess, and yet you will have Browns fans because the AFC stinks. Tweet me at MirazCBS telling me they're going to win out and they're going to make the playoffs. The Cleveland Browns stink. Their coaching staff stinks. Their direction stinks. Their roster is overrated. They won't sniff the playoffs, and Freddie Kitchens needs to be out of here yesterday. And this story from Mary Kay Cabot only further exemplifies that. Jimmy's in Fort Worth, Texas. Jimmy, you're on CBS Sports Radio. How are you?
Man, I don't even know how to follow that, first of all.
Thanks, Jimmy.
I mean, that was so good my stones are clapping down there, if you know what I mean. Let me just say this. Okay, I've got a few things. If I can get through this, I'm a Browns fan, I'm a Buckeye, and I'm living in Fort Worth, Texas.
Boy, that is some connection of life, Jimmy.
Let me tell you what, man. The United States Marine here, and I am as faithful as they come, being a Browns fan for this long. Come on. Here's the deal. You're right. Freddie ought to give up play calling. But Mary Kay came up, don't quote her, please. We got the worst beat reporters in the NFL.
I like Mary Kay. I think she does a good job, but okay.
When she wants to, but there's a lot of contention there. But nonetheless, that's that. I think Freddie needs a chance because we've had a revolving door of coaches. And, yeah, he needed to give up play calling, but all the same, give him a chance, dude. Every great coach out there has gone 4-something or 3-something their first year.
I think that's fair. I'm going to let you make your college football point. The only thing I will say is there is losing and having losing on your record and showing progress of building something, and there's losing on your record and having the team look like a complete mess that has no direction, and the Browns are the latter there.
Oh, dude, I'm ready to put the paper bag over my head. Trust me, I got it.
Okay, make your college football point.
Trust me. Okay, college point. LSU and Auburn. Let's be honest. Auburn's a 3-loss team, and I got a lot of respect for the SEC, and I got a ton of respect for LSU. Let's be honest. Nick Saban is 0-2 against third-string Ohio State quarterbacks now.
Fair.
With Burrow. Ton of respect for them, but OSU beating Wisconsin, I was terrified of going into Wisconsin tonight. Playing them a second time.
Yeah, I'm not discounting Wisconsin. I live 10 minutes from where Jack Cohen grew up and played his high school ball, so I have a lot of respect for Wisconsin as well.
Right.
But the bottom line is this. Wisconsin is not Georgia, and Wisconsin is not Alabama. And I know a lot of Ohio State and Big Ten fans want to make it out like they are. They are not. If Wisconsin...
Well, look at the bowl games in the last 4 years. Years ago, the SEC owned the bowl games.
Jimmy, the problem, though, but going off bowl games now, and thanks for the call, is... It's not like playoff games. You have no idea the motivation of teams in bowl games and which team looks at the bowl game like it matters or not. Some of these bowl games are played 3-4 weeks, or really 3 weeks after their last regular season game. And they know that the season necessarily wasn't a success. They didn't win their conference championship. They didn't go to a college football playoff, especially since the college football playoff has been born. Because that's got to be your sights set on things in August. Let's find a way to get in the college football playoff. Now you want to tell me because Wisconsin has been successful against SEC teams in a bowl game. Well, how do we know the motivation? It's not like the motivation is completely out of whack. Bowl games really are for boosters and trips for alumni and for gamblers on Christmas holiday week to go try to make some extra cash. The idea that half and you can get the entire team, a bowl team, to totally buy in and commit that bowl game is everything. I don't believe that exists. I think we want to believe that exists. It doesn't. All right. We will continue your calls at 855-212-4227. I know that there's probably a lot of people out there not interested in college football. I promise we're going to get to the NFL at the top of the hour, especially with the rematch of the AFC title game. But we do have to do what we do every week. We go around the weekend that was in college football with your campus crush.
It's Sean Marash on CBS Sports Radio. Time on CBS Sports Radio.
Sean Marash Show. Great job by McKeon here. Great song. Hardly overrated. Ironically, a Christmas twist to this song. This song makes me think of the holidays. Can Graceffa or McKeon tell me why? Boy, I'm looking at two dumb faces over here on the other side
of the
glass.
Who's this by?
I couldn't even tell you.
You don't even know who the song is by.
You don't know who the song is by.
I don't.
Really?
Stones?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Okay. You can't tell the voice?
Of course I can.
Thank you.
I want to see
your
faces.
Idea what you're talking about.
Move on.
Christmas.
I don't even want to hear your point. Move on.
The point is, this song is in one of the great scenes in one of the greatest Christmas movies of all time. When...
Die Hard?
No. Fred Claus. In Fred Claus, when... What's-his-face was the elf, dances with... The blonde girl, the tall girl, he finally
You
won.
Love this movie so much you can't remember anybody.
I can't remember. I'm bad with actors and actresses' names.
Do you know who played the lead in Fred Claus, at least?
Yeah, that was Vince Vaughn.
There you go.
Vince Vaughn
Good
played
job. I never saw the movie. I know
the
that.
The female actress is Elizabeth Banks. Elizabeth Banks is dancing, and she's not an elf. She's a regular-sized person at the North Pole.
Big fan, by the way.
And the elf has a crush on her. And Fred Claus pumps him up. You better go grab her and dance. This comes on the jukebox and they dance. It's a heartwarming scene in one of the great Christmas movies of all time. Fred Claus with Vince Vaughn. Feast of Bird. There you go. There's your holiday.
This is not a cheerful song, though.
Okay, but they dance to the song. Look, all I know is McKeon's bumping back here. It's a Saturday night and a Sunday morning. It's holiday time. I didn't tell him to play the song.
No,
I didn't tell him to put the song on. What I am telling you is, this song makes me think of the holidays because of
Fred Claus.
Again. Who wrote the song?
Beatles.
Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger, of course. Everybody relax. All right. Now, back to actual
Keith
sports
Richards.
Here. On CBS Sports Radio. Look, I don't even think we could do this next week, right? We're going to be running out of segment ideas. Campus Crush might be over.
Might have to come up with a new segment
right,
idea.
Right, I think we're still going to do it for some bowl games coming up here, but we won't have any next week. We'll just have Army-Navy. And by the way, I do have a new segment idea. I'm going to get to it next hour, and I want to pitch it to you.
Oh, I can't wait.
NASCAR?
I want to pitch it to you. No. New segment idea for post-football, so you want to pitch to you, and I'm going to sort of try.
We're going to do it at like a 40 segment,
right.
I assume. Yeah.
No, we'll see. All right, it's time for your Campus Crush.
Another football Saturday is in the books. Let's recap the day with your Campus Crush, only on the Sean Marash Show.
All right, it is Campus Crush on the Sean Marash Show inside the pork store. Look, took my wife out to dinner, our last date ever as a couple before we have a child, which could come any day now in the next 2 weeks. We said, all right, we're going to go out to dinner. I said, honey, we're going out at about 6 p.m. Eastern. You got a two-hour window. I got to sit down and I got to watch Utah get their way into the college football playoff. I didn't even digest dessert yet, and this was happening.
Hand it to Verdell up the middle. Gets free! Are you kidding me? 5! Touchdown! C.J. Verdell! Touchdown, Oregon! Duck fans, start celebrating! You are going to be the Pac-12 champions for 2019.
Jerry Allen, Learfield, IMG College, C.J. Verdell. That was his third touchdown of the day. He ran for 208 yards. Broke open the game with two long touchdown runs in the fourth quarter. Number 13, Oregon, spoiled number 5, Utah's playoff hopes with a 37-15 victory in the Pac-12 championship game. You thought maybe Utah had life late in the third quarter, making it a one-score game. But again, it was Verdell that totally changed things in the fourth quarter. The Utes came into the game hoping to make a case for be one of the four playoff spots with a conference title, but instead got overmatched by Oregon and lost their second straight Pac-12 championship game. The Utes were seeking their biggest win since joining the Pac-12 in 2011. Instead, they had a second straight disappointing performance in the conference title game after losing 10-3 in that boring game versus Washington last year. Now, instead of a playoff berth or even a spot in the Rose Bowl, the Utes must hope to stay high enough in playoff rankings to even get to a New Year's Six game. Probably won't happen either. a disappointing fall for Utah. And as I talked about earlier, this is what I mean by playoff expansion. The Pac-12 is out, and they deserve to be out. And Oregon screwed themselves royally by losing that game to Arizona State a couple weeks ago, because had Oregon won that game and then won 37-15 over Utah, Oregon's in over Oklahoma right now as that fourth college football playoff team. They had a bad night versus Arizona State, I'm sorry. They had a bad night to open the season, but at least they played Auburn and played them tough, and that was one of the reasons I put Bama in over them. That being said, you're telling me in a 4-5 game in an 18 playoff that Oregon-Oklahoma isn't freaking great? And if Oregon won that game, you're telling me Oregon versus LSU isn't a little bit intriguing after they beat Oklahoma? A little more intriguing than just Oklahoma rolling out there right now would be? I think Oregon screwed themselves, but to me, this only further backs up that I would love to see a college football playoff. All right, so you woke up Saturday now. First game to start Saturday, Baylor-Oklahoma, winner of the pack of the Big 12, could be in with a Georgia loss. How would the Sooners fare after Baylor down to the third-string quarterback in this game?
Two wides, two tights. Stevens in the back, in motion, Lamb. He sets up tight end right. Snap to Hurts. Hand off Stevenson, breaks through, touchdown! Ramondre Stevenson! 5-yard touchdown run, and Oklahoma strikes first in overtime.
Toby Rowland, Learfield IMG College. Oklahoma became the first team in any league to win 10 conference championship games. Remember, they could have more had the Big 12 not had a conference championship game for all those years. It was the 13th Big 12 title overall for the Sooners, who went to the playoff three of the past four seasons. After Oklahoma scored on three plays to start overtime, the Sooners put the heat on Bears backup quarterback Jacob Zeno, who was sacked for a 10-yard loss, and then he was under duress again when he flung the game-ending pass that fell to the turf harmlessly. Hurts, who led Alabama's comeback win over Georgia in the SEC title game, was 17 of 24, passing for 278 yards and a touchdown. C.D. Lamb, probably a first-round pick in the NFL himself, had 8 catches for 173 yards after missing the previous game against the Baylor Bears. And again, Oklahoma, great spot, beat Baylor twice, but when you struggle like this and go to overtime versus a team played a third-string quarterback, it's tough to take you seriously as well. All right, at night, Virginia, Clemson once again just rolling through an ACC opponent.
First down and 10 for Clemson at their own 41 on the right hash. Two wideouts left. Lawrence off play action, wants to throw, steps up, going long, has Ross open, catches it at the 26. He's at the 15, the 10, the 5, and Ross into the end zone. Touchdown, Justin Ross.
Don Munson, Clemson Radio Network. Trevor Lawrence threw 4 TD passes, 3 to T. Higgins, and the defending national champions dismantled number 22 Virginia for its 5th consecutive ACC title Saturday night. The Tigers won their 28th straight game and became the first program with that many wins in a row in a league title game. 62-17, the final. Trevor Lawrence set an ACC title game record with 4 touchdown throws. He had 302 yards passing, his second best total of the season, completed 16 of 22 passes before coming out in the third quarter. Think about this. Clemson in this ACC was so bad, Trevor Lawrence could come out of the title game in the third quarter. How ridiculous is that? All right. The big one Saturday afternoon, it was winning in for Georgia. Would Joe Burrow and LSU let the Bulldogs off the hook?
He's got it in the pocket. 3 steps. Again, tons of time. Now he'll roll to his right, come back to his left, still looking for somebody to come open. He'll sling it far side, and it's going to be caught! Right corner of the end zone, Jamar Chase! Touchdown, Tigers!
Chris Blair, LSU Sports Network. As McKean says, my ear so true. What an NFL throw by Joe Burrow. And boy, does he look everything the part of a big-time NFL quarterback. The Tigers, going for their first national title since the 2007 season, will either return to Atlanta or head west to Phoenix for a semifinal game on December 28th. They surely made a persuasive case to be the top overall seed with the four-team field, as we noted to start the show. And pairings are announced later on Sunday. Burrow was all over the stat sheet for LSU. He threw for 349 yards and 4 touchdowns. He was the Tigers' second leading rusher with 41 yards on 11 carries. As Gary Danielson tried to point out, this is what makes him different from Tom Brady. Gary, relax. We're not putting Joe Burrow ahead of Tom Brady yet because he could rush for 41 yards versus Georgia. He even caught a pass in this game on a ball that was batted down at the line and wound up in his arms, taking it for a 16-yard gain. Joe Burrow could truly do it all. How great was it seeing his parents there? going crazy. LSU left no doubt it is the king of the mighty SEC this year, completing its run through the gauntlet of the league's top teams. The Tigers had beaten Alabama, Florida, Auburn, and now Georgia, ensuring the SEC will only get one team in the national playoff. But think about those four wins, Ohio State fans. Think about it. Alabama, Florida, Auburn, Georgia. LSU beat them all. Beat them all. That's not Penn State. That's not Wisconsin. That's not Michigan. That is an impressive resume, a more impressive resume. Now, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Big Ten championship game. Wisconsin up 21-7 at the half, but in the second half, it was all Ohio State and Justin Fields.
Possible blitz being shown by the Badgers. Fields with the ball. Back to throw. Looking left. Looking middle of the field. Fires middle of the field, and it's caught at the five. And dancing into the end zone goes Ohio State's receiver, K.J. Hill, on a touchdown pass of 16 yards as he weaved his way through the Badger defense. And Ohio State has their first lead of the night, 23-21.
Justin Fields threw three touchdown passes in the second half. J.K. Dobbins ran for 172 yards and a score. Number two, Ohio State sealed its first playoff trip in 3 years by shutting out number 10, Wisconsin, in the second half in a 34-21 victory Saturday night in the Big Ten championship game. The Buckeyes claim their third straight league title and enter the postseason with a 19-game winning streak. Ohio State's K.J. Hill caught seven passes for 83 yards and two scores, becoming the Buckeyes' career leader in receptions. He passed David Boston, how about that for a name, who had 191. K.J. Hill now is 195. Also should be noted in this game, how about the one-handed grab by tight end Jeremy Ruckert? Unbelievable grab. And the reason I'm bringing up Ruckert, I'm a homer. Jeremy Ruckert grew up about six blocks from where I grew up. That's how close. Right across the creek there, Lindenhurst, Long Island. I grew up in West Babylon. Right there, could throw a rock to Jeremy Ruckert's house. Plays basketball in the summer, the same gym I am on the elliptical on constantly. You should see this dude dunk. When the kid was in high school, slam dunking. So seeing him make a one-handed catch in the Big Ten championship game, not shocking to me in the least. He was 15 years old, dunking over people's heads at an LA Fitness that I go to on Long Island. So really cool Long Island moment. So a little homerism for me, seeing Jeremy Rucker do what he did in a Big Ten championship game. And good for Ohio State. They win 34-21, but come back. But again, that is your campus crush. And as I point out throughout the show, you're down 21-7 like that, knowing what just happened where LSU dismantled the number four team in the committee's eyes. Ohio State had to come out with more fire, more passion. That Ohio State needed to win this game 52-14 and never sweat, and they were sweating in the first half. They did not. And because of that, LSU should, and I believe will, be the number one team when the college football playoff rankings come out. We are closing in on 8 hours until we see those rankings, approximately. And I believe LSU will be that number one team in the nation. Now, we will continue your calls on all of that at 855-212-4227 if you have some thoughts on the college football playoff and their rankings. But it is a big NFL Sunday ahead, and I do want to look ahead to that. Will it be 0 for division leaders in the AFC for the New England Patriots? An AFC title game rematches on tap on CBS. We look into the Patriots and the Chiefs next. It's the Sean Mraz Show on CBS Sports Radio.